from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia launches business group to boost Philippine trade. Indonesia ready to invest heavily in blue economy. And now the news in details. Indonesia has launched a new business association in the Philippines to boost bilateral trade and investment, marking a fresh to deepen ties ahead of the ASEAN summit. Trade Minister Budi Santoso said the Indonesia-Philippine Business Association, launched in Cebu on May 6, marks the milestones in 75 years of economic relations and reflects both countries' commitment to strengthening cooperation. Moving on to the second news. President Prabowo Subianto said the government will make a massive investment in the marine economy or blue economy in line with the increasing global demand for animal-derived protein. In a statement from the Indonesian Government Communication Agency received on Saturday, the president highlighted Indonesia's enormous marine wealth. Therefore, this wealth needs to be optimized for the welfare of the people, where Prabowo said investment in the blue economy must begin by strengthening the role of fishermen in the national fishery sector. The next news is coming from BPH Migas promotes CNG as an alternative energy for households. Indonesia Downstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Agency is promoting the use of compressed natural gas and the development of mini liquefied natural gas as an alternative energy sources for households. BPH Migas committee member Fatul Nugraho stated in a statement on Saturday that these steps will strengthen national energy security and reduce dependence on imported LPG. The fourth news, coming from the news of Republic Indonesia and Philippines Nickel Corridor. Kadin expects stronger supply chain, where the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry expects the cooperation to strengthen critical mineral supply chains under the Indonesia-Philippines Nickel Corridor to become a new model for regional economic partnership. This initiative focuses not only on commodity trade, but also on building stronger industrial value chains, as highlighted at a high-level roundtable in Cebu, Philippines. The next news. Youth and Sport Minister Erick Thohir said his ministry would continue implemented budget efficiency measures to ensure spending remains targeted and aligned with the development goals. The budget efficiency measures introduced by the ministry have recently drawn public attention after affecting several programs, including the cancellation of the 2026 National Student Sports Week pre-event, where in addition in the 2026 National Center for Outstanding Sports Development Program has also been temporarily suspended to align with the current fiscal priorities. And let's moving on to the nickel industry. With Hasanuddin University launched an undergraduate scholarship programs for students in Morowali, Central Sulawesi, to expand education access and build local human capital in mining and industrial area. Chief Operating Officer Tony Green said on Thursday that the initiatives of youth in Bengkulu Pesisir and Bahodopi as a part of industry-university collaboration to improve education access. He said the program supports the company's sustainability strategy by enhancing education quality. And last but not least, we have the news from the Indonesian national esports team emerge as the overall champions of the 2026 National Cup in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, Saturday evening. The team secured 3 gold, 1 silver, and 1 bronze medal to dominate the regional competition. Indonesia's path to victory was solidified on Saturday night following a series of clinical performances across multiple titles. The Merah Putih squad secured gold medal in PUBG Mobile Solo, Teamfight Tactics, and hard-fought Crossfire Legends Finals. National team head coach Ricard Permana confirmed that the achievement on Sunday, starting that the 3 gold medals, Indonesia is the absolute overall champions of SNC 2026. And that was the newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is The Woman of Indonesia, a special series to celebrate and commemorate the Kartini Day and the amazing role of women in Indonesia. And today, we will talk about Mari Thomas. Maria Emilia Thomas, or Mari Thomas, was the first female doctor in Indonesia. On February 17, 1896, Mari Thomas was born in Likupang, North Minahasa, one of the most beautiful places in Indonesia. But she must leave it. Her father, a soldier, got assignment from one place to another. In 1911, Mari finished her education at ELS. ELS was a special school for European and local elites during the colonial era. Then, there was a challenge for Marie Thomas and other women who wanted to study at Stovia, the only medical school at that time. Women were not allowed to study at Stovia. Later, it was made possible by Aletta Jacobs. Aletta Jacobs was the first female physician in the Netherlands as well as women suffrage activists. When Aletta Jacobs visited the Dutch Indies, she demanded women to be allowed to enroll at Stovia. She saw a demand from midwives. The Dutch Indies government approved it. Then, on September 22, 1921, Marie Thomas was accepted to be the only female among 200 students in Stovia. At Stovia, all students lived at dorm, but Marie Thomas, the only woman student, lived outside. However, she was a brilliant student. Her study was also supported by SOFIA, an association that provided scholarship for female doctors in the Dutch Indies. Then, on April 26, 1922, Marie Thomas graduated from SOFIA with the title Indisch Arzt or Indisch Doctor. Even Rotterdam's Nieuwsblad newspaper called her as the pioneer for women. After graduation, Dr. Marie Thomas was assigned at the CBZ, or Central Civil Hospital in Batavia, which today is called Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo National Central Hospital in Jakarta. Later, Marie Thomas married with fellow graduate of Stovia, Dr. Muhammad Yusuf, and moved to Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. In there, Marie still provided medical services for the people, but never charged them. Marie Thomas also opened a pharmacy for poor people. While during the Japanese occupation, Marie took care of children who were separated from their parents.
Proklamasi. Kami.
When Indonesia proclaimed its independence, Marie Thomas kept serving the people. In 1950s, Marie founded the first midwives education in Sumatra and the second one in Indonesia. Marie Thomas later was actively participating in humanitarian action. However, in time, Marie Thomas' health was going bad. Too many activities have drained her. Marie Thomas then took her last breath on October 29, 1966. Marie Thomas was an example on how discrimination against women will make us lose such a great talent and goodness for our world. When the ban for women was lifted at Stovia, every door was open for Marie Thomas to finish her study and became a professional doctor. But at the same time, Marie Thomas opened herself to help everyone with all she could. Until her final moments, Marie Thomas dedicated herself for medical services and midwifery education in Indonesia. Listener, that is today's episode of Women of Indonesia about Marie Thomas. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ain't nothing to lose, just like I told you. Play by my rules, not to follow the lies. Got me torn in two, I can't hide it to you. I gotta say what's true, I say what's down for you.
But a heartbreak, 'cause you make this go your way. Know how to keep silent, confide only in your space. No need to hide it, can't find any other way. Writing my story, let's keep it.
your way. Know how to keep it silent. Confide on me in your space.
Don't need to hide.
Utilizing the flow of the Opak River and the rocks on the edge of the river, this tourist spot is very popular. The place is named Watu Kapal Tourism Park. Watu means rocks and kapal means boat or ship. It is so named because among the rocks there is one which is shaped like a boat. At Watu Kapal Tourism Park, visitors can do fun activities such as river tubing and cliff jumping from a height. To do this, of course, you must be able to swim and have guts. The distinctive cliff shapes, greenish, clear, and clean river water with natural plants on the cliff make the color combination very fitting and very beautiful. Besides that, the air is very cool. The shady trees becomes one unit of refreshing natural scenery. It feels incomplete if we visit this place without capturing the beautiful times there. Many promising photo spots that can be used for group photos and selfies. The location of the Watu Kapal Tourism Spot is in Klenggotan Hamlet, Sremulyo Village, Piyungan District, Bantul Regency. It is approximately 13 kilometers from the center of Jogja City towards Wonosari and takes about 25 minutes to travel. Because this place is still relatively a new tourist spot, the manager has not yet charged visitors for entrance tickets. So, if you are in Yogyakarta, take the time to visit Watu Kapal Tourism Park that offers cliffs, natural, distinctive architecture made directly by nature and for humans to enjoy. Therefore, when visiting this place, make sure to keep the environment clean and not littering.
Inequality for women is one of the world's greatest injustices, but it is an injustice that must be and will be swept away. Tandy Newton takes up the story.
75% of parliamentarians are men. 73% of managerial decision makers are men. 67% of climate negotiators are men. And 87% of the people at the peace table are men. Even though we know that when peace settlements include women, the negotiations and outcomes are more durable. Globally, almost one in five women has experienced violence in the past 12 months at the hands of a man they know. Women and girls do three times as much unpaid care and domestic work as men. The global gender pay gap is stuck at 16%. Every year, 12 million girls are married before 18. All of this has to change. It's time to stop trying to change women and start changing the systems that prevent them from achieving their potential. And this is the battle that women in this century will not lose. They are too strong, and their voices will not be silenced.
I was named after a girl, an Afghani folk hero who was killed in a battle. Just after I was born, my father got our family tree. It went back 300 years, but not a single girl or woman's name appeared on it. He decided to make me the first. He wrote Malala. That's me.
When her father's school was closed down by the Taliban, Malala Yousafzai began to campaign for the rights of young girls across Pakistan to go to school.
I have rights. I have the right of education. I have the right to play. I have the right to sing, I have the right to talk, I have the right to go to market, I have the right to speak up.
They shot her in the head. She is still in critical condition.
She was airlifted to a military hospital in Peshawar, where she had served.
As surgeons battled to save her life, vigils took place throughout the world.
In this first photo released today, Malala's eyes are open and she appears alert.
Here we have some really good news to report tonight. Malala Yousafzai walked out of a London hospital today.
Today, it is an honor for me to be speaking again after a long time. They thought that the bullet would silence us, but they failed. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage was born. Today is the day of every girl who have raised their voice for their rights.
In 2014, at the age of 17, Malala Yousafzai became the youngest person to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Today, she continues to campaign for universal education for girls, but she doesn't want to do it alone.
My message right now is to young people. We are living in a world where things are not the way we want. We are getting a system, we are getting a world which is unequal, which is sexist, which is racist. We have systems that are discriminating against people. Our climate, our environment is at risk. And there's so much that needs to be done. But I hope that young people, they stand up, they raise their voices, they start their activism right now. Let your age not stop you. Oftentimes we're told that, you know, you have to be 40 and 50 to change the world. I do not believe in that. I think you can be a change maker right now. If you are 11, if you are 16, if you are, you know, 30, 40, change is possible anytime. And I want you to believe in yourself and make this world a fairer, more equal, and a better place for each and everyone.
Tandy Newton.
And once again, there are positive solutions that can turn things around fast. We need more women in positions of power, at every level of government. The time has come for quotas that make sure women are equally represented in every country. It's time to make our laws equal so that every woman is entitled to a job and a national identification card and to own property. Women must be able to live free from violence and have the right to make decisions over their bodies and lives, especially in choosing if and when they marry. We must guarantee full access to sexual and reproductive health services and rights. We must provide the money to close the gap in girls' education. And there are important changes needed to achieve economic empowerment for women. From equal access to finance, to ending the gender pay gap, to equal access to the digital world, from mobile bank accounts to digital payment systems and digital education.
It just doesn't make sense. Women are half of the population, but society does not treat us as equals. This is a legacy that needs to change here and now. By changing our behaviors, but also by changing laws and common practices across the world. We must all make that happen. Now.
Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Pesta kota seolah kita flamenco mengalun jiwa. Ku duduk terhanyut nuansa di sudut semarak plaza Catalonia. Galas pasang mata menatapku manja, mengajak berdansa. Sapanya kiere Darmu su direction, señorita. Ku ingin kau ajak serta malam ini. Como si pronuncia, oh juita. Ingin ku nyatakan cinta sepenuh kata. Mungkin esok ku kan pergi, tapi ku berjanji pasti diriku kembali untuk cinta yang tertinggal di jantung Barcelona. Peluklah diriku mesra dalam cinta sebagai pengikat rindu. Akan ku kenang selalu cintaku di Barcelona. Yeah. Siento mucho, señorita, ku harus meninggalkanmu sejenak waktu. Hapuslah air matamu kini, dua hati tak terpadu satu janji. Oh, usahkan cerita malam yang tersisa. Ku tak kuasa lagi.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Leto. Leto is an Indonesian pop band from Yogyakarta, formed in 2004. The initial format of its members consisted of Noe on the vocal, Patop on the guitar, Arian on the bass, and Dedot on the drums. However, since 2016, Leto has added two new members, namely Cornel on the guitar and Widi on the keyboard. On January 18, 2025, finally, Leto released a new song titled Sebening Senja, or As Clear as Dusk. This song is Leto's latest single after a five-year hiatus. The song Sebening Senja is a pop song that tells the story of a person's journey in finding the magic and meaning of love. The lyrics are written by the vocalist Noe. Well, listener, let's enjoy the latest single of Leto, Sebening Senja. Enjoy!
Seandainya aku mengerti pedihnya rasa rindu ini, takkan berani ku bermimpi dan memilih untuk berlari. Karena cinta
of Indonesia.
I take this herbal drink not only now. The first time I gave birth, I took this herbal drink. It's been a long time, but I continue drinking it from vendors. I'd have a special mixture, just made from glitter, galangal, turmeric, and betel leaf. That was Canang, a woman from Bogor who has been living in Jakarta for long. Although living in a big city like Jakarta, the 54-year-old woman believes that drinking herbal medicine is very important for maintaining health. The habit of drinking herbal medicine derived from her parents, and she is still doing it up to now. Not only limited to healthcare, Canang even believes herbs can cure certain diseases. Yes, in my village, a lot of my relatives drink this herbal drink. When they just give birth to a baby, they always take herbal drink. In fact, if my children are unwell, having allergies or nausea, I tell them to take some herbal drink from the vendor. Their father also likes it. As far as I know, turmeric has many efficacies, very good to cure indigestion and leukorrhea. I'd say it is not only for spices or seasoning when you cook something. When anybody asks me to make a herbal drink, I always grind some head of turmeric. Thank God, it always works. Along with the passage of time, advances in science and technology seem to eclipse people's belief on the efficacy of traditional or herbal medicine, as disclosed by Mrs. Audi. Yes, it seems good. People in Indonesia have known about herbal medicine since a long time ago. But I myself am not a fan of herbal medicine. I mean those sold by vendors who carry the bottles around, because I doubt about the hygiene. So if I want to take it, a simple herbal drink like a mixture of turmeric and tamarind, I'll make it myself. But I have more confidence on herbal drinks or medicines manufactured in big factories, probably because the cleanliness is well controlled. People in the past did not have many drugs, only the ancient medicines, the traditional herbal. So they had to look for medicines from nature, mostly in the forest. People in the past did not have many drugs, only the ancient medicines, the traditional herbal. So they had to look for medicines from nature, mostly in the forest. So, since when have people begun to recognize and use Indonesian traditional herbs or herbal medicines? Is it an influence from other nations? Paulus Pangka, public relations of a large herbal medicine industry in Indonesia, located in Semarang, said.
Before the Chinese came, Majapahit Kingdom and other kingdoms in Indonesia had already used traditional medicine to cure illness and wound. Also to make the queens look more beautiful, they used traditional medicines, herbs.
The developing of traditional herb in Indonesia could not separate it from abundance of natural wealth owned by the country.
Indonesia has a lot of herbs and plants with best efficacious remedy. In the case of any illness, these plants will definitely be used. Many herbs have special efficacy to cure the illness.
It takes a very long process from generation to generation to get herbal formula, as we find today. Paul explains.
The first was through a dream or revelation. A lot happened in Indonesia or Asia. In general, one could treat the disease because he was prompted or informed in his dream that he is treating the disease with certain plants. The second is the behavior of the animals. We, the example of an animal, if it is having difficult to defecate, then it will eat some grass and the grass turns beneficial to smooth littering. The third is forms or behavior of plants. There are plants in Kalimantan which, if planted in the fertile soil, it will not grow at all, but if it is planted in a stone, it will grow up well. The plant turned out to be beneficial for kidney or gallstones, and the food is modern technology. So mix them all. Whether the dream can be proven scientifically, then the shape of the plant and animal behavior, as said earlier, go to the lab and do some research about it to find out whether it is actually useful, because not all beneficial to human life. There is definitely a certain substances that are useful for the human body.
Although using products rooted in indigenous cultures of Indonesia, according to Paul, to date, herbal drinks or medicines are only consumed in certain part of the country.
This jamu is circulating mostly in Java and Sumatra. For instance, it has not entered my hometown in Flores yet. Our population is big, 240 million. If everybody takes herbal drink, no need to actually go abroad because our domestic consumers are still quite plenty.
It turns out that the current world developments does not necessarily make people live traditional formula. In fact, since the last few years, many people have been using traditional medicine, or more popularly known as herbal medicines, that are considered more natural. Head of the National Commission for Herbal Medicine Scientification, the Ministry of Health, Dr. Siswanto, said,
"Jamu itu kan istilah untuk obat herbal, tapi yang asli Indonesia kan gitu, namanya jamu."
Jamu is the term for original Indonesian herbal medicine. Yes, it is called jamu. In other countries like in Malaysia, there is also Malaysian herbal medicines. In China, it is called traditional Chinese medicine. It means Chinese herbal medicines. So it's pretty much the same. They have herbal-based remedies or medicines. Every country also considers herbal medicines differently, such as in the United States, for example. They are just incorporated in food supplement, so it is not in the FDA jurisdiction. Then in Europe, some herbal or traditional medicine is taken care by the FDA.
Herbal itu ada sebagian yang diurus oleh artinya dalam jurisdiksi FDA.
People in Indonesia have been consuming traditional herbal medicine for generations. Then, how is jamu when viewed from the health or medical side? Siswanto explains.
Jamu yang dalam pengertian tradisional itu kan sudah banyak dipakai di
masyarakat. Jamu in the traditional sense has been widely used for generations to maintain health and to treat minor ailments, and it should remain that way. And we always maintain that culture. But on the other hand, if you want to use for health care in terms of medical jamu that can be used by doctors, it should have a scientific evidence, as said earlier. All doctors certainly have their criterion for therapeutic modality in this herbal medicine. Therefore, jamu that can be used is the one that has already had evidence and been clinically tested.
In order that jamu can be used widely in the community with a quality that can be accounted for, the policymakers have made some effort, as described by Siswanto.
First, we tried to construct the body of knowledge, a sort of knowledge tree on Indonesian traditional medicines, which actually are rather different from modern medicines. So from there, we then formulated methodology to commit some sort of specific clinical tests for herbal medicine, which is slightly different from modern medicine. Because modern medicine is a single, say, paracetamol, it contains paracetamol only, yes, but jamu consists of various herbs, right mixed with different types of plants. Each plant also contains a lot of components. That's why we set up a different method of clinical tests. Through empirical evidence in our people, we conduct the clinical tests of phase 2 and 3. We have done two formulas that have been clinically tested. First, herbal medicine for gout. Then the second is the formula for lowering blood pressure or hypertension. The research has not only been done by the Herbal Certification Agency, but also by other research institutions such as universities and others.
It is not impossible that jamu as an ancestral heritage of Indonesia can be combined with modern medical treatment.
Cita-cita kita, jamu ini mau kita angkat. Makanya ada program namanya Sandikasi.
Our ideals, we want to lift up this jamu. So there is a program called Sanctification Herbal Medicine, right? Well, in the future, this jamu can actually go through two ways. Jamu that has, say, clinical evidence that can treat up to phase 3 clinical tests, and then the POM agency agrees. Well, it could go in the medical world, but jamu within the traditional sense, that is, to maintain health and so on, will be directed towards jamu for maintaining health. We are working to build a separate profession from physicians or medical profession called on traditional Indonesian penyehat or healer or health care. This is still an idol and ambition.
Although it is still limited, the development of herbal medicine in the country has been making progress, Siswanto once again said.
I told you this jamu does not have any such evidence yet, so doctors would mind if they are being asked to use it directly. To make such a breakthrough, now traditional medicine clinics have been opened in various hospitals which allow herbal medicines, but still within the framework of research. So it's called research-based service. What does it mean? Well, use herbal medicine if you want, but please, it is still in the corridor of research. And this already exists in several hospitals in Indonesia, particularly hospitals under the health ministry.
Voice of Indonesia.
harus lakukan kembali.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Indonesian Wonder today is on Haji Mangku Cave in East Kalimantan. The various attractions offered by the Derawan Islands in East Kalimantan province are indeed tempting for visitors. Not only doing water activities such as diving and snorkeling, tourists who visit the Derawan Islands can also test their adrenaline and courage by visiting one of the caves located not far from Maratua Island, namely the Haji Mangku Cave located in the Payung Payung village. The name of the Haji Mangku Cave, located only a few dozen meters from the northern coast of Maratua Island, was first discovered by Haji Mangku. The location of this cave is in the middle of a forest surrounded by lush trees. Starting with light trekking through a small forest, visitors must then be extra careful in choosing their footing because some locations have sharp coral footing. Arriving at the location after about 10 minutes walking through shady trees, visitors will be greeted by the edge of the cave which forms a natural pool. To enter this brackish water cave, there are two ways, namely jumping directly from the top of the cave or entering from the mouth of the cave, which is half covered in water. The best time to visit the Haji Mangku Cave is during the day because at the time the sunlight will enter the cave and even penetrate to the inside of the cave. The appearance of the water will also look bluer when compared to coming in late afternoon when the sun is almost setting. This Haji Mangku Cave tourist spot is perfect for those who enjoy nature tourism that challenges their adrenaline. If you like snorkeling, you can explore the depths of this natural pool with the equipment that has been prepared. If you want to jump from the cliffs around the pool, you can also do it from a height of 4 meters. To maximize your trip, you should wear non-slip and comfortable footwear. Leave in the morning so that you don't arrive at the location too late. Bring enough food and drinks for supplies, and most importantly, ask a local guide who can guide you during the trip. That was today's Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow.
Aku menari di bawah hujan, bernyanyi dalam dingin pelukan. Perlahan hangat menjalar jiwa yang berpendar, menari di bawah hujan. Kembali menyapa, biarlah dunia sejenak sunyi. Setenang mungkin ku akan hadapi. Aku menari di bawah hujan. Setenang mungkin ku akan hadapi.